Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. No! Don't need any of that. We don't tolerate sponsors. We're beholden to no one except our audience, and that's you. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. Here we sit on the verge of, I don't know what's going on. I was driving yesterday listening to the radio, and at the top of the hour, they reported on a new variant of the virus, and I thought to myself, this is never going to end. This is going to be the only news story for the rest of my life. I can't take it. I can't take it anymore. There's a variant now out of, I forget, Buenos Aires or Venezuela, South Africa, UK. Maybe I should just go right to the story about what we thought we all knew. Should I do that? Well, first let's check in with Charles McKay and his book, Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds, which I've been reading. The guy's a funny writer, a very dry sense of humor. But I have laughed out loud at least a half a dozen times reading this book. So I highly recommend it. One of my favorite lines was regarding an alchemist. There's a whole section on alchemy, which is quite interesting in the light of what's happening now with the, basically the worship of pseudo-scientific overlords that we're experiencing right now. And the ebbing and flowing of alchemists' popularity in the 16th, 17th, and 18th century throughout Europe. There are some parallels that can be observed, and so I highly recommend the book, but McKay says of one of the alchemists who apparently wrote three books, McKay says, his third volume holds the distinction of being the least obscure of all his titles. That's just a very funny, backhanded, insulting, hilarious line about a charlatan who managed to bamboozle not only the ignorant masses, the peasantry in the streets of Europe, the alchemists did, they bamboozled them and sold them the elixir of life and all of that, but they managed to bamboozle the educated, the aristocracy, the princes, even the kings. And, we'll get to the distinctions as we move on. You know, after now the better part of, over two decades of all of us giving away all of our data for the convenience of instantaneous communication, immediate advice, instant information, we awaken now to discover that we've all been deceived. You know, those terms of use that we all signed, we clicked without ever reading because they were always too long to actually read. Nobody could ever read that. If you wanted to download the app, you could spend the next 4.5 hours reading the legal disclaimer in the terms of use, or you could download the app, and we all chose to just download the app because there was just a certain level of common trust that we had with one another in the past. Surely nobody's going to deceive us and enslave us and destroy our country for the want of an app. Surely that's not going to happen. Well, it may turn out that giving our legal consent to download the app turned out to be our legal consent to be silenced and then robbed. And now that the robbers have actually seized power, the consent that we gave them to enslave and rob us is going to be enforced against us. Think about that for a minute. It's quite disconcerting what's happening. And I'm referring now to the GameStop controversy, the stock trading controversy, which started out as a rather hilarious backhanded insult against the hedge funds. But once it cost them, I forget now, $50, $60, $70 billion. I mean, once there was real money involved, everybody stopped snickering. And started building gulags for the masses. I mean, if anyone thinks that what Robin Hood and whoever the stock exchange is, whoever the powers that be are, I'm not an investor. I've always chosen to just work for money rather than gamble. I don't know all about all that. But whoever stopped the trading and whoever squelched all that, that's a criminal act. That was a criminal act. And it was carried out in broad daylight, and they're going to get away with it, and they're going to start punishing the victims of it. That's what I think is going. The robbers have taken control, and they're going to enforce the terms of use now that we all signed. You know, it won't be long. In fact, the moment may be upon us where everyone is going to be looking for someone with whom they can trust all of their data and all of their information. And they're finding out that there's no one in the world that they can trust with all of their data and all of their information. They're finding out that that common sense of trustworthiness that we all had amongst one another in the past is in the past. There is no more. There is no more common trust. That's been broken. That's been destroyed. That's been tossed onto the ash heap of history, so to speak. But if you're looking for someone who you can trust with all of your data and all of your information, do not look to me. Do not look to anyone in big tech or in the government or even in the church. But look to God. You can trust God with all of your information, even the bad stuff. Even the really bad and embarrassing stuff, you can trust God with that information. I just found out that one of my relatives, I should just leave, I don't want to get too specific. One of my relatives who is a lifelong atheist just found out he has brain cancer and he's about to die. He just found that out. Anyway, I wanted to call him. I went into my cell phone because I used to have his cell phone number. I don't have it anymore. So now I have to reach out to other members of my family to try to get the cell phone number of my atheist relative who is about to meet God. And maybe not on good terms. Well, not maybe. He's not going to meet him on good terms. So I would like to get a message out to him that he could trust God with all of his information, even the embarrassing stuff. And I'll be working on that. Anyway, should we get to the news? Should I do the mask thing? I don't want to do the mask thing. I got to start with the COVID stuff because the story's just never going to end. From the widespread madness file, from the popular delusions, madness of crowds, Dr. Fauci was on the Today Show, apparently. He says wearing one mask is good, wearing two masks is better. He says wearing two face masks to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, he says two masks instead of one likely does make a difference. It likely does make a difference. It just makes common sense. It's a physical covering, you know. It makes common sense that two layers would be better than one. Now, you may remember, and the author from the Post-Millennial, where I downloaded this article, reminds us that back on March 8th of 2020, on 60 Minutes, which at one time in my life was a credible news source, Dr. Anthony Fauci said, quote, "There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. Wearing a mask might make people feel better. It might even block a droplet here and there. But it doesn't provide the perfect protection that people think. And there's often unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with their mask. They keep touching their face." Which I just saw Joe Biden do, which is just funny. I mean, he's trying to talk like a normal human being, which he's not. And his mask obviously gets pulled down below his nose, and he grabs it and he puts it up. At which point you want to smack him in the head and say, you know, you're not allowed to touch the mask. But nobody knows that. Nobody cares about that. And Anthony Fauci can Fauci on and say whatever he wants. Because he is, Anthony Fauci is the modern day answer to the alchemist. He's bamboozled the entire world. And despite the fact that he contradicts himself on a regular basis, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's going to turn all those masks into gold, you see. I've have a secret powder, and I can apply it to the mask, and then the mask will turn into gold, and I'll find a way to pay off all those debts that you have, your majesty. Anyway, so back in March of 2020, Fauci said, don't wear a mask. In April, the CDC updated their guidance, and then Fauci said, we should wear a mask. And then I just read an article this morning that the CDC has ordered, they've ordered that we all must wear masks in the airport and on airplanes. I thought that was this is the interesting thing about where we are, is that the government no longer has to issue orders. Private industry is terrified of getting sued. There's a name for it. There's a word for it that I'm reaching for. Litigation. For fear of litigation, everybody will enforce this insanity upon each other. And now the CDC comes out with an order. Wait a minute. I'm thinking, does the CDC actually have the authority to order me to do anything? I mean, they can issue guidance. They can give me advice. Wash your hands. But can they actually order me? Well, apparently they can. And they don't even have to, because United Airlines will order me. Southwest Airlines will order me. In fact, the male stewardess will prance about on the aircraft constantly reminding you to cover your nose and your mouth. The mask needs to cover your nose and your mouth. And don't think you can eat your peanuts for 45 minutes. We haven't seen that trick. All right. So Fauci says two masks are better than one. And now we have, let's see here. This was on NBC. Isn't the Today Show on NBC? Maybe this is a conspiracy at NBC. This is from the Science... Really? File. Where another who was this? Let's see. So Fauci goes on. He says two masks are better than one. But now researchers at Virginia Tech say that two face masks only provide 50 to 75% efficacy, and that three masks should be worn if you'd like to achieve 90% effectiveness. another doctor says, why stop at 90%? Dr. Scott Siegel, the chair of anesthesiology, appropriately enough, at Wake Forest, says that four masks would provide even better filtration. So four masks are going to filter better than three. That should be obvious. Why stop there? We need, in fact, here at the Weekly Worldview, we're going to begin advertising soon for the Airtight Mask. The Airtight Mask is is the brainchild of our genius middle daughter, who came up with the Airtight Mask because of concerns over coronavirus. And she determined that if you put on an airtight mask that allows no air in or out and no particulates, and certainly no viruses, can get in or out, she guarantees that your concerns about coronavirus will completely vanish within approximately 3 minutes. You'll never worry about coronavirus again. You'll never catch coronavirus with the Airtight Mask, featured right here on the Weekly Worldview for three easy payments of $99.95. All easy payments, by the way. We're going to put no complicated or difficult payments in there. None at all. Because with the Airtight Mask, you're not going to have time for concerns about difficult payments. Everything will be easy. You'll have no more worries. Recover from the coronavirus hysteria in 3 minutes or less with the Airtight Mask. That's why everybody wants a piece of the action. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. I want to finish off with Dr. Siegel, the chair of anesthesiology, which I just found that to be somewhat ironic. Siegel's advice was contradicted by CBS medical editor Dr. Dave something or other. He says three masks may be going too far. It could interfere with the ability to breathe. Huh. So this is where we are. The NBC article goes on to note how the general public is quite compliant with face mask mandates. It's part of the new normal. Increasingly, Americans use masks as a way now to make fashion statements, root for their favorite sports team. What will Americans tolerate next, asks the author at Summit News, and then reminds us, and I wasn't going to cover this because I found it too personally disturbing, but I feel I must. In China, governing officials there have begun with the anal swab.
Are you sure that's real?
It's real. I've double and triple sourced it. Yes, it's real. Why? Because it's more effective. They say it's a more effective means of more accurately all of that. Okay. I mean, I think people will tolerate this. Now, forget it. Yeah, they will. They'll tolerate the... okay, I'm not going to say any more about that.
What's your dad do for me?
Yeah, can you imagine getting that job? Now, there's no child that sits around hoping for a career one day to have the swab in hand and to be a part of the
coronavirus
task force. I mean, I want to be on the task force, but I didn't think I'd ever end up being the guy with the swab. Can you imagine that's your job all day? They have, and people are terrified, right? So they come up, they got their masks, their goggles, their gloves. You got shower curtains in the parking lot because it's got to be outside, and then
outside.
And then you know you're gonna ask people to. I have a swab here,
okay.
And yeah, it's just no. People are going to do it. It's going to happen.
Oh gosh.
It's going to happen here in America, in red states. What people would consider conservative states, people are going to line up to go outside with a shower curtain wrapped around the Volkswagen so they can get the swab. They're going to do it. They're going to do it. All right, and that's it's quite sad. Now, well, how do I know they're going to do it? Where are my notes? I have notes here. Yeah. So I have I know a man who has decided to quit working at the age of 51 for fear of COVID. He's decided to quit his career in the personal services industry because he's afraid. He explained to me that he got sick for 12 days, and during that time and after that time, he's been so terrified that he may have infected someone else that he can't take the psychological pressure anymore, and he's going to quit. He's going to retire at 51. As far as he knows, he says he didn't give it to anyone, but he can't take the stress of worrying that he could infect someone else. Now, I tried to reason with the fella. I said, you know, there. If you think back in your life, there's probably other times when you got sick for 12 days. It's unusual to get sick for 2 weeks, but it's not unheard of. In fact, every single one of us has experienced that at some point in our life. But none of us ever freaked out about the possibility of infecting other people. I mean, at least not on this level. Maybe you didn't want to give the bug to someone, I suppose. But to decide to end your career because you can't take the stress of worrying that you might infect someone and kill them. You know what I think this is? This is the culmination of the guilt complex of the leftist, of the godless. They're so overcome with the guilt of not being able to deal with their sin that they're absolutely freaking out hysterical that they're killing other people. Why? Because they've been killing other people for my entire lifetime. I mean, we as a society collectively have been murdering innocent people for so long that we're finally just going to freak out about it. Because you can't help it. Eventually, you're going to freak out about your guilt and your sin. That's why I want to talk to my relative who's a lifelong atheist before he dies. He could die at any minute. I mean, they just told him, basically, you got cancer in your brain, you could die at any moment. Your liver, it's fine, oddly enough, but your brain is... So anyway, I'd like to talk to him, because if he doesn't deal with it, you know, he's going to have to deal with it. He's going to have to deal with the eternal consequences. Forget the existential, carnal, physical consequences of just losing your mind over being a worthless, filthy sinner your whole life, which is what we all are. And if you don't deal with that, you're going to freak out. Anyway, so this fellow I know, he's going to quit. He's done. I don't know, maybe I'm a heartless person, but I never thought twice about maybe I passed on a bug to someone else. I just never really, it never got to me. Maybe it's me. I'm just a really rotten human being, and I just don't care that I might infect someone with a... By the way, for most of the people who die from COVID... Most of 99% of the people, probably 95, any virus, any bacteria, any pathogen could be fatal to that person because they have all these underlying. I mean, you could have killed one of these people at any time in your life in the past. All right, forget about it. I'm done talking about all that. But I got to talk more about Fauci, because Fauci's now made his way into the insurrection file, because I realize now that the whole COVID hysteria is a part of the insurrection. And maybe intentional, maybe not. Maybe intentional, maybe not. January 28th, 2020, Anthony Fauci asserted, now this is the author over at redstate.com, Michael Tao. Tao, I don't know what it is. I think I've read another one of his articles, and I remember that because I didn't know how to pronounce his last name. I apologize, Mike. But Mike says that in January 2020, Fauci asserted what every man, woman, and child in America already knew. That people without symptoms do not spread respiratory viruses. And by the way, Anthony Fauci did say that back in January. He said, we don't have to worry about asymptomatic spread, because for 100 years we've known that with respiratory viruses, if you don't have symptoms, you're not going to spread the virus. By the way, Fauci then went on to utterly contradict himself in public for a sustained period of time. And nobody called him out on it. Donald Trump followed Anthony Fauci over the cliff of lockdowns after the man had obviously lied to everyone in front of everyone and been caught at it and just continued and just went on. And Donald Trump allowed him to issue his opinion in public instead of firing him immediately. Trump was worried about his political legacy. Could cost him the election if he fired Fauci. Fauci was popular. That worked out. Anyway, Mr. Tao, Michael, over there at Red State, your first mistake is assuming that every man, woman, and child in America already knew that people without symptoms could. See, that's what I thought. I was foolish enough to think that there was some collective knowledge that we all had in common amongst each other. That's what I thought. Turns out I was wrong. The vast majority of the population are extraordinarily selfish morons who didn't know anything. They didn't have an inkling of the common sense that I thought we all shared as just being alive and awake and just paying attention. The things that you learn by accident, just from living, that I thought we all knew, it turns out most people didn't know that. I did, that kind of caught me by surprise. Tao goes on to say, the author says, there was never a shred of evidence that SARS-CoV-2, one among a family of respiratory viruses humanity's been dealing with from time immemorial, was any exception to this rule. this broad rule of biology that people without symptoms do not spread respiratory virus. Put on your mask. But I'm not sick. Put on your mask, damn it. And everyone just complies because we didn't know that. I mean, some of us knew it, but the vast majority apparently did. Anyway, in a February 26 New York Times article, February 26th of 2020, this is before the lockdowns, Anthony Fauci said, quote, "I don't think there's any question that someone without symptoms can transmit the virus to somebody else," unquote. So in one quick stroke, Anthony Fauci threw out about 100 years of common medical knowledge that people without symptoms can transmit a virus. And he just said, there's no question. I don't think there's any question that someone without symptoms can transmit the virus. What? But there was a question for like 100 years. Now, there wasn't a question. There was an assertion to the exact opposite. And Mr. Fauci, before the lockdowns were ordered, he dismissed 100 years of common scientific and medical knowledge in front of God and everybody. And Donald Trump let him keep his job inexplicably. Fauci went on, the question is, how prevalent is the phenomenon of asymptomatic transmission? When asymptomatic carriers are an important factor in an outbreak, you are going to put a greater emphasis and a burden on testing people. So he dismissed 100 years of scientific knowledge and evidence, insisted that we needed to test everyone. He cited research. There was research, by the way, that suggested asymptomatic transmission. But Mr. Tao over at Red State reminds us that one doesn't overturn broad rules of biology based on a few hastily done studies. And that is where, again, Mr. Tao is incorrect. You do overthrow 5,000 years of human civilization based on a few shoddy, hastily cobbled together studies and destroy the world. That's what you do. Do I want to go any more? Let's see. On March 11th, 2020, Fauci testified before Congress that COVID-19, back then we didn't call it COVID-19, we called it the novel coronavirus, is, quote, "it's at least 10 times more lethal than the flu." Everybody be very terrified. I'm here to help. 10 times worse than the flu, said Fauci on March 11th, 2020. 11 days prior, he published to his fellow experts his opinion that the novel coronavirus pandemic would probably turn out to be akin to a severe seasonal influenza. In quotes, by the way, that's in his published article. So Mr. Tao tells us that that's perjury. He perjured himself in front of Congress in March, in early March, and then Donald Trump allowed his edicts to govern the passions of all the governors in the 50 states, or almost all of them, to lock down and destroy the world. And here we are. This is not going to end. It's not. Do I want to go on with this? I don't want to go on with this. I don't want to say any more about it. I need a break. View. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. That's the only keyboard solo we ever allow to play here at the Weekly Worldview.
What did he say?
I have no idea what he said throughout any of that. Not unlike the whole COVID panic and hysteria. I want to finish with this. Anthony Fauci earned his medical degree in 1966. In 1968, he was hired by the NIH. And 53 years later, he is still there at the head of the National Institutes for Allergy and Infectious Disease. This is from Front Page Magazine. The late Kerry Mullis, PhD, biochemistry, he won the Nobel Prize for inventing the PCR test. I know at the end of his life he kind of went nuts, okay? But anyways, a smart fellow. He knows what PCR tests are. He said Dr. Fauci shouldn't even be in the government. He says, this man thinks you can take a blood sample, stick it in an electron microscope, and if it's got a virus in there, you'll know it. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, because I don't know about electron microscopy, and I don't know about molecular biology, but this guy does. He invented the PCR test. He says, Tony Fauci does not mind going on television in front of the people, face out, and lying directly into the camera. Yeah. Fauci's a fan of WHO, whatever he is, Grand Poobah, Tedros. He remains, for the most part, uncritical of the Chinese Communist regime and the Wuhan lab that Anthony Fauci directly funded, where the bat virus escaped, in my humble opinion. Fauci recommended lockdowns that he described as inconvenient at the time, but later admitted that they could cause irreparable damage. To the United States, then Democrats used the lockdowns to do the mail-in ballots that played a huge role in stealing the election, but it didn't really matter because Donald Trump was a part of all of this. Donald Trump allowed it to happen. He didn't fire this charlatan. Instead, he... whatever. All right. By the way, Anthony Fauci, according to Front Page Magazine and according to Fox Business and a Freedom of Information Act issuance information. Anthony Fauci is the highest paid federal government employee in the United States. He makes 400 and some odd thousand dollars a year, more than anyone else in the government. Okay. Meanwhile, from the widespread tyranny file, YouTube has removed official videos from the Senate, the United States Senate, from a hearing last year where doctors testified about how to treat COVID-19 patients. Now, you would think that this information would be part of the public record that would be deemed official. This is not something you can erase, but it is being erased. I should say it has been erased. YouTube called the videos on early treatments inappropriate content. So these were doctors who were actually treating actual patients who were getting sick and actually dying. And so these doctors were saving some of them. And they testified to the Senate how they were doing that. And that's been now disappeared. Because these videos, see, they were from last year. And last year, any good news about anything related to the coronavirus was deemed inappropriate. And now, apparently, YouTube has determined that the year 2020 must be cleansed of any good news that surrounding anything involved or having anything to do with anything involved with this current panic and hysteria. 2020 will be cleansed of any good news. All right, so that's it with the hysteria. Am I done with that? Do I have any? Oh, I'll just finish with my story from the hardware store where I was at the self-checkout. After meandering through the store for approximately 20 minutes and gathering up my various hardware items, I was at the self-checkout, checking out. And a morbidly obese, very ugly woman. I mean, I assume she was ugly. Half of her face was covered with a filthy rag. But what I could see of her was ugly and obnoxious. She said, excuse me,
Excuse me.
At which point the four or five of us in the self-checkout aisle all kind of looked at her like, oh, are you talking to me? And the poor girl, you know, you've got the cashier who's in charge of the self-checkout, which normally that's the easiest job. You only have to help the completely idiotic people who can't check out like me, generally. Can't figure out how to use the scanner, can't figure out how to pay with their credit card. That's me. But at this point, I was cruising through the self-checkout. I was going to go through completely uninhibited. I wasn't going to bother the cashier at all. I was going to check out and walk out with my stuff.
Excuse me!
This extremely obese, old, ugly, fat woman with her half her face covered with a filthy piece of cloth said to the poor checkout girl, the cashier girl,
excuse me, one of your customers doesn't have a mask on. He's not wearing a mask.
And so she looks at the cashier as if I'm not even there. She won't address me directly. She's addressing the cashier and looking past me as if I'm not even there, yet she's obviously obsessed with my presence, which I found disturbing.
Why isn't he wearing a mask?
She said to the cashier, as if the cashier has any idea why I'm not wearing a mask. The poor cashier doesn't know. The cashier looks extremely uncomfortable at this point. And so I decide to remind this fat, ugly, obnoxious woman that I'm present. And I said, that's because I've been hanging around with doctors for 20 years and I'm not a brainwashed moron. That's why I'm not wearing a mask.
Put on your mask.
And then she pushes her cart away there, out of the danger zone.
Sorry.
In retrospect, I wanted to say to her, if you would lose about 300 pounds, you might have to not have to be so terrified of getting sick. But I didn't say that, and I apologize for even bringing that up. The fact that she was fat and ugly shouldn't have anything to do with my opinion about her, and I apologize for being so shallow. Anyway, the cashier at the end, finally, I checked out, and I looked briefly at the cashier who didn't want to look me in the eyes because she was so uncomfortable with the whole situation. Didn't say a word. She said, have a nice day. She didn't say a cross word to me. She said, have a nice day. And I said, I hope you have a nice day, too.
Excuse me!
All right. So that's it with all that. I don't really have any news on the Occupy DC movement, the new Occupy DC movement. That's the government. The government is occupying Washington DC with armed forces because they're terrified of the coming. I don't know what they think is coming. I mean, everybody is compliant, practically on their knees, worshiping the government, begging for a little scrap of liberty here or there, and the Democrats are terrified that we're about to revolt. I don't know who they're afraid of. They shouldn't be all that afraid because. Hey, and what about the face shield? Okay, I got a question about the face shield. You've seen the face shield, right? And for all of you who wear the face shield, God bless you. I feel terrible for you. Especially if you've got the mask and the face shield. Now, I know that in some jobs, you're forced to do that. And the fact that you don't have the courage to just quit that job, to me, that's embarrassing. I would just say, you know what? I'm not coming back here. You're going to make me wear a mask and a face shield? I'm out. I'll beg on the streets. I'll find a way to get by. But if you allow yourself to be masked and muzzled and face shielded, I'm sorry. You're a pathetic example of a human being. You should just quit. And if you don't have the guts to quit, you should be embarrassed. That's all. But what's the deal with the face shield? You've seen it, right? It's blue. It's a piece of plastic with a device attached to it that's obviously designed to go on top of the human head. And then across the top, it says face shield. Face dash shield. As if we need to be reminded of what this is. I mean, I can tell it's a face shield. I'm not even a trained, licensed medical professional, and I can tell that that's a face shield. But they have it imprinted up the face shield. Just in case you were wondering what this device was, it's a face dash shield. All right.
Yeah, that's a good point
that the welder's mask doesn't say welder's mask. Because we all assume that anyone who's in anywhere near welding, they have an idea of what that is for because of what they looked at it and they knew. But with the face shield, okay. Now let's get to some serious news. Because the collapse of Western civilization continues all around us. In Ohio, a police officer has died. I can't stand the way people write. These urinalists drive me crazy. And this is the Epoch Times, which is an allegedly conservative alternative news right-wing outlet. Maybe they're just reprinting it. I hope they're just reprinting this from the AP, because here's what they say. A police officer in Ohio died after being shot in a standoff with an arson suspect. Okay, he was killed. He didn't die. Okay, dying is like my relative with the brain cancer. When he goes, you're going to be able to say he died. But this police officer was killed. Officer Brandon Stalker, 24 years old, was struck once in the head and passed away soon after. Okay. The neutered nomenclature of the modern urinalist is maddening. He was struck in the head and then he passed away? Are you serious? How about police officer shot and murdered by crazed arson suspect? That's what should... But no, modern urinalism says that he was struck once in the head and then passed away. Yes, yes, yes. He was at St. Vincent Hospital where he succumbed to his injuries. What does that mean? That means he was shot and killed by a crazed, maniacal arson suspect. That's what it means, but that's the suspect, 27-year-old Christopher Harris, was shot by police and died.
Okay. All right.
Actually, he was shot and killed by police is what happened, but. The mayor of Toledo, where this all occurred, the mayor Wade Kapskowitz asked the city to challenge themselves to respond to this tragedy with thoughts of love and light. Huh? Thoughts of love and light. Are we not supposed to get angry and have a desire to confront the genuine existential crisis of what appears to be an open season on police? Aren't we allowed to get mad about that? Get upset about that and demand action? No. We're supposed to just send out thoughts of love and light. Well, it's open season on cops. Can we talk about that? I'm pretty upset about that. I mean, it's the thin blue line that stands between us and 1,000 years of darkness, and someone has declared open season on it. I'm mad about that, and I think we need to talk about that. Keep your love and your light to yourself. If you're interested in love and light, get out of the mayor's office. There's a bloodbath happening amongst law enforcement. I think you need to be worried about that, Mr. Mayor. No. I want everyone to think about love and light. You know, Mr. Mayor, we can mourn at the funeral of the police officer, Mayor Wussowitz. But here in the public square, we need a little bit of righteous indignation, a little bit of passion, a little bit of leadership. As our country is being stolen from us by a criminal gang, and they're murdering the police in front of us. They're killing the good guys. All right. The Epoch Times goes on to remind us here at the end that according to the Officer Down Memorial page, which is online, I went and they keep track of all the police officers that have been, well, died in the line of duty, they say. And at the time I downloaded this, the count was 22. I'm sure it's over 30 now. But as I read through it, I realized that the Officer Down Memorial page counts law enforcement officers who have died so far this year, including from COVID-19. Ouch. And I'm thinking, wait a second. Are we counting all the deaths from every infectious disease as died in the line of duty? I mean, is that... So anyway, I just don't know where to turn anymore. Meanwhile, from the domestic tranquility file, a terminally ill doctor held an Austin medical office hostage for hours last Tuesday. There was a standoff lasted more than 6 hours at the Children's Medical Group in Austin, Texas. The suspect was a 43-year-old pediatrician from Southern California, Bharat Naramanchi, pediatrician, apparently died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And when the police finally sent in a robot, they found another pediatrician, Catherine Dodson, who had been murdered, 43 years old, shot to death apparently by the other pediatrician. The other pediatrician, by the way, had recently been diagnosed with cancer and was given just weeks to live. And he chose at the end of his life, his final statement in his life was to go and murder this other pediatrician. Nobody knows why. Investigators are now looking, this is according to the Washington Post, investigators are now looking for friends and associates of Naramanchi, the homicidal, suicidal pediatrician. They're looking for friends and associates who may be able to shed light on what motivated him. But folks, we'll never find out, at least not on this side of eternity. Why? Because this kind of thing happens all the time. This should be a story that the whole country should stop and be shocked. And it should consume everyone's attention for a few days until we figure out what's going on. But it won't, because we don't have time, because this happens every day. Because there is an epidemic, not of a respiratory virus that we should all be afraid of. There's an epidemic of murder and mayhem and suicide that we should all be concerned with. But instead, our political leaders want us to focus on thoughts of love and light and put on your mask. Should we let it play? No, you don't have time to let it play. Otherwise, we would. Because it's a good dueling guitar solo. It's good stuff. But we don't have time because of the decline and fall and collapse of Western civilization that we have to document for you all. And speaking of that, we go to the Queering of America file, where this past week, the Ames, Iowa Public School District... I'm sorry, not this past week. This week, because it's Sunday, right? I'm sorry. This week, Iowa Public Schools are sponsoring a Black Lives Matter Week of Action. Yeah. This is Ames, Iowa, by the way. This is not San Francisco. This is not Marin County. This is not Brooklyn. This is Ames, Iowa. The school district's webpage reprints the Black Lives Matter at School Guiding Principles, which will guide the upcoming week of Black Lives Matter action. Queer Affirming is the sixth principle guiding the action week there at the Ames, Iowa Public Schools, freeing ourselves from the tight grip of the, freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking, or rather, the belief that all in the world are heterosexual unless she, he, or they disclose otherwise. Okay. This is on the Ames, Iowa Public Schools website in regards to the Black Lives Matter Week of Action. Black lives, oh, well, here we go. Trans-affirming, queer-affirming, right? First, of course, then trans-affirming. Now, trans trumps queer, I think. If I'm not mistaken, trans eliminates queer. Am I wrong on that? It's hard to say. But trans-affirming means being self-reflexive and dismantling the cisgender, dismantling cisgender privilege. Yeah, Ames, Iowa. This is Iowa Public Schools. These are good schools. Solid, good schools. You looking for a house in Ames, Iowa? They got good schools. Black villages are acknowledged on the webpage at the good schools in Ames, Iowa. Disrupting the Western prescribed nuclear family structure by supporting each other as villages. Caring for one another and our children to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. The school district's recommended lesson for middle and high school students this week include a Justice for Trayvon Martin toolkit, where they discuss George Zimmerman and how, even though he's Latino, why is he labeled as white? Zimmerman is ethnically Latino. However, he has the same racial privileges as white person living in a gated community, light skin color, no Spanish surname, and Zimmerman is whitewashed, consumed by white supremacy. That is why he is white. The author at The Federalist says, the grammatically embarrassing toolkit. That's why it was hard to read. You can't correct grammar that fast in your mind trying to read through. And this is published on a school district website. These are the people educating the next generation. The grammatically embarrassing toolkit also encourages students to organize around police violence and racial profiling. Okay, that's what's going on in the good schools of Ames, Iowa this week. And then we've got from the Creep file, Creep, C-R-E-E-P. From the Creep file, it's the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, just passed this past week. This is from Ms. Magazine, Magazine. The 48th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court decision that protects a pregnant person's liberty to choose abortion. And feminists across the nation are celebrating the progress towards securing universal reproductive freedom. Reproductive rights. Then they have a tweet here by Kirsten Gillibrand. An unsurprising tweet. Reproductive rights are human rights, and they are non-negotiable. And Ms. Magazine, it's interesting. They say that Roe v. Wade protects a pregnant person's liberty to choose abortion. Not a pregnant woman, because there aren't any more women. There's queer-affirming, trans-affirming, and all of that, but no more women. There's just pregnant persons. Man could be pregnant. Woman could be pregnant. Some creep could be pregnant. Anthony Fauci could be pregnant. We have a quote here from Anthony Fauci. Anthony Fauci announced, this is from Ms. Magazine, they published this. Anthony Fauci announced the Biden administration's intent to scrap the Mexico City policy that allegedly bars American dollars from funding abortion. And of course, they're all very excited about that over at Ms. Magazine, because they've never met an abortion they didn't appreciate and want more of. And here's what Anthony Fauci actually said. It will be our policy to support women's and girls' sexual and reproductive health and reproductive rights. Excuse me, Mr. Fauci, did you say girls? Why did you include girls? Are you some kind of creep? I think it's more likely that Mr. Fauci is a creep than he is pregnant. I'll just assert that and I'll move on. All right. Now, Beyonce's cousin has been shot dead. Beyonce's cousin, I said. And everybody said, who? What? Beyonce has a cousin? Oh, Beyonce's cousin was an aspiring rapper. But unfortunately, he was found dead in his apartment in San Antonio last Tuesday. He had a blossoming rap career under the stage name, whatever, who cares? His name is Martel Deruin. Deruin, whatever. They have his name here. Martel, 34-year-old aspiring rapper. Police are searching for a suspect named Sasha Scare. Yeah, they're searching for the suspect of the crime. Well, who ever heard of this guy? No one ever heard of this guy. And no one would have ever heard of this guy except that he's tangentially famous because his cousin is famous, possibly. We don't even know if it's actually his cousin. But the tangential fame of this particular nobody, loser, is worthy of now being named in the pop culture because he's tangentially famous, his cousin is famous, and so that makes him worthy of having a name and being talked about, however briefly, in the pop culture. Meanwhile, on the world stage, about 2 weeks ago, the European Court of Human Rights ruled that a British hospital can allow a man to die of starvation and dehydration. All right. So this is from WorldNet Daily. And again, the vernacular and the nomenclature of the modern urinalists makes me crazy. They're going to allow a man to die of starvation or dehydration as if the man wants to die. You know, I'd like to starve to death and dehydrate myself until I die. Will you allow that? No. This guy's incapacitated because he had a heart attack. The Right to Life case was brought by the Christian Legal Center on behalf of his mother who tried to save his life. The court ruled that her case was inadmissible. They ruled that the mother's desire that her son's life be preserved was inadmissible. Meaning officials at the hospital now were allowed to withdraw food and water from the man. And then, I'm not sure who wrote this, if this is the author at WorldNet Daily. I hope not. I hope this is just a reprint. This, by the way, this is from the End of the World file. They say that death usually follows within a few days of the withdrawal of food and water. The Polish government intervened on behalf of the man because he's a Polish citizen. But the European Court of Human Rights would not allow the Polish government's petition to be considered, and the hospital concluded that it was in the best interest to withdraw life-sustaining treatment from this incapacitated man. The judge in the case decided that the man would not want to be kept alive with no capacity to obtain pleasure. That's the judge ruled that. The wife of the incapacitated man told the judge that her husband did not want to burden his family by being kept alive. That's his wife. The rest of the family disagreed. They wanted to keep the man alive, but their testimony was considered inadmissible, and the wife was basically allowed to kill her incapacitated husband with the help of the court and the hospital. WorldNet Daily reminds us that the same issue played out in the United States with the death of Terry Schindler Schiavo. She died of starvation and dehydration after a court ordered her to be killed. I just want to read a couple of posts from the Christian Concern who lobbied on behalf of this man who I have not named, by the way. Why have I not named him? From the Christian Concern, on the evening of 7 January 2021, the hospital, University Hospital, Plymouth, withdrew nutrition and hydration from a middle-aged Polish man referred to only as R.S. January 7th. Now, after January 7th, there was some legal back and forth, similar to the Terry Schiavo case. before she was killed. There was some back and forth. The food, the what they call nutrition and what they call nutrition and hydration, which means food and water. There was a little legal back and forth, on and off. The food and water would be administered, then the food and water would be withdrawn. And then the food and water would be administered again, and then it would be withdrawn because there was lawyers arguing about whether or not and how soon this person should be killed. But on January 26th, ChristianConcern.com posted that the middle-aged Polish citizen referred to in court documents as R.S., passed away after being deprived of fluids and nutrition since January 13th, 2021. January 13th was the date at which food and water were finally withdrawn from the Polish citizen who is not allowed to be named because the European Court of Human Rights banished anyone from uttering his name, including his own family, is not allowed to mention his name in public. Why? Because the whole Terri Schiavo thing, it got very ugly because they allowed her name to be said in public. Her name was allowed to be stated in public. Her pictures were allowed to be shown in public. And that really made things messy, right? It became a big giant. I was there, by the way. I went there and tried to give her water. I was arrested for trying to give Terri Schiavo water. Not only was I arrested, I trespassed. I resisted arrest. I confronted the police physically. They had to physically restrain me and throw me into a truck in handcuffs. But see, because I had heard her name and I had seen her picture. Well, now you're not allowed to state the name of the person. This Polish man, his name has been banished from the public square. And his family has acceded, by the way. They've apparently accepted the idea that we will not allow anyone to say his name. Even his own family is afraid to say his name in public because the court ordered that they shall not. And by the way, WorldNet Daily, death does not follow within a few days. Terri Schiavo suffered for 13 days. She languished, dying of starvation and dehydration. This unnamed Polish man, he languished for 13 days without food and water until he finally died, until he was finally murdered. And for 19 days, this story was in the public square and we were not allowed to utter his name. And apparently we are still not allowed to, even though the man has now died. Even the people fighting to keep him alive bent the knee to the edict of the court that his name shall not be spoken. Meanwhile, Beyonce's cousin, his name is spoken. Nobody ever heard of this guy. But his name is out there. And we have to consider and ponder the life and times of Martell, 34-year-old aspiring rapper shot to death. But this man's name shall not be uttered. His name shall not be uttered. 13 days it takes to murder an incapacitated person by depriving them of food and water. And by the way, this story did not become a global sensation, and there was no mass protest outside of his hospital room. Because why? Because nobody knew his name and nobody saw his picture. And so this story passed virtually unnoticed by the entire world because the robbers, the criminals who've been operating in the shadows and behind the scenes have now seized power publicly across the world. And it is the end of the world. That is the end of the world. When the criminal gang is allowed to operate in public, that's the end of the world as we knew it. I don't know that I can actually do another story after that. I can't. Can't do all these other stories. China executing the former head of an asset management company. Hunter Biden still holds a stake in the Chinese company that he said he was going to get out of. Why is Hunter Biden allowed to do that? Because he is in good standing with the nakedly corrupt, murderous criminal gang that has seized power in America. So Hunter Biden doesn't have to divest himself of his ill-gotten gains. He's fine. It's good to go. And China, how can they execute a former head of a... Well, because they are the criminal gang. The Chinese Communist Party are the criminal gang who have seized power boldly and nakedly across the globe. Mitch McConnell's wife has financial ties to the Chinese Communists that are so deep and thick that you can't even keep track of them. Mitch McConnell's wife. He's the Republican. His wife is financially tied to the Chinese Communist Party. And it's not a secret. It's not something she's trying to hide because she doesn't have to, because they're in charge now. And it's the end of the world as we knew it. That's the Weekly Worldview for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in. I want to thank my friends at... At American Right to Life and at Real Science Radio. And, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here at the Weekly Worldview Studios, should the Lord tarry, we will return. Should the Lord tarry, and if we're not thrown in prison, we will return. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.